everybody. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace, and I want to welcome everyone at Girard and McCain and online. I'm preaching live today at Harbor Creek, where I get to be the site pastor. We intentionally have live preaching at each site a few times throughout the year so the sites can hear a message from their site pastor or connect personally with another member of the preaching team. But I want to remind us today of the value of video preaching. Video preaching unifies our three sites around the same teaching each week. It multiplies the gifts and preparation of our preaching team, and it frees up the site pastors to focus more of their time and energy on the leaders and individuals at their site and in their community. It also allows our sermons to be accessible to more people through Grace Online, which is often people's first introduction to our church. So video preaching has been one of the keys to us being an effective multi-site church, one church in multiple locations. When the Apostle Paul couldn't visit churches in person, he would write them letters. He leveraged the technology of his time to multiply his teaching and encouragement. Similarly to how we use video preaching. So for those who are new, I hope you will quickly see the value of having our sermons on video at most of our sites most of the time. Well, here we are in our last week on the Gospel of John. And since many of you have been wondering, yes, I was asked to lead this series solely because of my name. It must be a good name, right? I mean, there's no Gospel of Derek, just saying. I hope you've enjoyed reading the Gospel of John for yourself over the past few weeks and experiencing Jesus through the eyes of one of his closest friends. As I've read John's Gospel and reflected on his miracles and Jesus' miracles and teaching, it's given me a renewed perspective on how Jesus proved himself to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And we haven't even gotten to the end of the book yet. If today's your first Sunday and you want to learn more about Jesus, I would encourage you to read John's Gospel for yourself. You can pick up a copy of the Gospel of John study book at the Next Step Center on your way out today. As we've studied this gospel together, we've looked at three major themes so far: truth, love, and life. John, the author, wants anyone who reads his gospel to know that Jesus is the source of all three. If you're looking for the truth about God, you will find it in Jesus. If you're looking for the unconditional love you long for, you will find it in Jesus. If you're looking for the answer to a better life, you will find it in Jesus. Last week, we learned that Jesus offers new, eternal, satisfying life to all who put their faith in him as their Lord and Savior. And we're celebrating that 51 people across our three locations took a step of faith to receive Christ or rededicate themselves to him. So can we just take a minute and praise God for that? That is awesome. Praise God. We're so excited to support those of you who are taking the step today to publicly profess your faith in Christ through baptism. What an amazing symbol of your new life in Christ. And for those who came, maybe not expecting to be baptized today, you're going to get an opportunity to take that step as well. So today, we're going to look at the fourth and final theme from John's gospel. Jesus is not only our source of truth and life and love, he's also our source of purpose. We all have a desire to be part of something greater than ourselves, don't we? And many of you have experienced that in some way, shape, or form. I know for me, I experienced it while serving during the Serve Erie school projects over the last three summers. I was just one of hundreds of volunteers, but it was amazing to be part of a mission so much bigger than me. I was part of transforming a school so that the students and faculty could feel the love and support of their community in a tangible way. That was a powerful experience. Have you ever experienced that? The joy of a greater purpose? That's what we all want, isn't it? A life of purpose? And yet so many people seem to be living without that greater purpose. They just go through the motions day after day, lacking the passion that comes from being part of a bigger story. They're living their lives uninspired, but that's not what we want. We want to make a difference. We want our lives to matter. We want to live with purpose. Daniel Pink affirms this in his book, Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. He writes, "We know that the richest experiences in our lives aren't when we're clamoring for validation from others, but when we're listening to our own voice, doing something that matters, doing it well, and doing it in the service of a cause larger than ourselves." That's what I want. I want my life to have purpose. Not just a someday purpose that's always out of reach, but a here and now purpose. A reason to wake up in the morning, a reason to work hard and give my all. I want a life with purpose and passion, knowing that what I'm doing matters and that I'm part of something bigger than myself. Isn't that what you want? Jesus lived with that kind of purpose. He lived inspired. He lived with passion. He lived with divine purpose, compelled by a calling from God. In one interaction with his disciples, when they asked Jesus if he had eaten lunch, he responded with this statement, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." His energy source wasn't food. His soul wasn't nourished. His soul was nourished by doing what God had sent him to do. That word sent shows up 53 times in John's gospel, most often in the context of Jesus being sent by God. He lived a sent life. He knew he was sent by God to accomplish a mission, and his passion came from fulfilling that mission. What did God the Father send his son Jesus to do? He sent Jesus to save souls and transform lives, to redeem people out of darkness and into light, out of shame and into love, out of death and into life. That was his divine purpose. It was this purpose that led him to love people others ignored, to serve the hurting and the broken, to teach the truth even when it was unpopular and hard to believe, and people didn't believe it, and to endure ridicule and suffering throughout his ministry. It was this divine purpose that compelled him to lay down his life and be put to death on the cross. Jesus's life and death were fueled by divine purpose. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples several times and spoke with them. During one of those conversations, he said these words, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." I want to read that again just so you can let it sink in. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Don't miss this. Just like God the Father sent Jesus to save souls and transform lives, Jesus sent his 12 disciples to do the same. Jesus sent his disciples to continue his ministry, to teach and to serve, to love and to lead, to be witnesses and disciple makers, to share the good news of his gospel so that others could find true life in him. Jesus invited his disciples to take on his mission, to live sent lives. He invited them into his greater purpose. And it gets better. Matthew's gospel records Jesus's sending commission that we call the Great Commission. He makes three statements, but we usually focus on the middle one. And so I want to look at the statement he makes before and after he tells them to go and make disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then after explaining what their mission is, he says, "And I will am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus was promising his disciples, not just telling them to go continue his ministry, he was promising to go with them, that he had all authority and power so that he could continue his ministry through his followers. And that's our big idea today. Jesus continues his ministry through his followers. By the power of his Spirit in each of us, he's able to continue his work of saving souls and transforming lives. The Gospel of John is evidence of this. John, one of Jesus' disciples, was allowing Jesus to continue his ministry through John. And John wanted us to join Jesus in his mission, just like he did. He wanted us to find purpose like he did. Just like his 12 disciples, Jesus sends each of us to continue his ministry. We have the privilege and calling to be witnesses and disciple makers, to save souls and transform lives, to let him save souls and transform lives through us. This is our purpose as followers of Christ. Our mission here at Grace is to make and be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We believe this is the mission of every Christian, to follow Jesus with full devotion and help others do the same. If you are a follower of Christ, you are sent by Jesus to continue his ministry and make disciples. Jesus wants to continue his ministry through you. How amazing is that? There is no greater purpose than Jesus continuing his ministry through you. That gives me a reason to wake up in the morning. That gives me purpose to my life every day, getting to be part of seeing his kingdom come in the lives of others. So whether you have just started following Jesus or you've been a Christian for years, I hope you are fired up like I am to join Jesus in his mission today. If we're going to continue Jesus' ministry, we need to look at him as our model. And so I want us to learn today from his example so we know how we can continue his ministry. We're going to look at three essentials for him, Jesus, continuing his ministry through us. Each essential has a short prayer that goes with it. The first essential is surrender. Surrender means to give up control. The simple prayer of surrender is this: your will, not mine. When we surrender to God's will, We're letting go of control. We're choosing to follow His plans and desires instead of our own. Jesus lived His life surrendered to God's will. He makes this clear in John 6 when He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Jesus had many opportunities throughout His life to give up on God's purpose for Him and go His own way. But every time He surrenders to God's will instead. We see this as He anticipated the cross in John 12. "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." In that moment, Jesus knew He was walking towards death. His humanity resisted the anguish that awaited Him, and yet He was resolved to follow God's will. The first step in surrendering to God's will is knowing what it is. And so there are a few questions that we can ask ourselves that will help us determine what God's will for our life is. What roles am I called to? What relationships am I called to? And what works am I called to? So what roles am I called to? You'll always be called to multiple roles. You'll have roles at work, at home, at church, in the community. This is the important thing to realize. Each role is an opportunity for Jesus to continue His ministry through you. And so ask yourself, how does Jesus want to continue His ministry through you in your role at work, in the lives of your coworkers and the people that you serve there? How does Jesus want to continue His ministry through you in your roles at home, as a husband or a wife, as a mom or a dad, as a brother or sister? How does Jesus want to continue His ministry through you in your roles in the community, as a coach or a volunteer in a nonprofit organization at your kid's school? How does Jesus want to continue His ministry through your roles at church, serving on a ministry team so you can help other people follow Jesus? The Apostle Paul describes the church as the body of Christ, made up of different parts, each one having something to contribute. Every Christ follower is called to be a member of the body, bringing their gift, their act of service, so that it can build up the rest of the body and make it stronger in their faith. So Jesus wants to minister through you in at Grace Church. So there are some roles that you're already in right now, and you're clarifying, God, how do you want to minister through me in these roles? But God might also be calling you to a role that you're not currently in. It could be a job or a ministry. Would your heart be open today to the roles that God is calling you to and how Jesus wants to minister through you in those? The other question we can ask is, what relationships am I called to? It's interesting that Jesus was surrounded by crowds of people, and yet He chose to focus significant time and energy on only 12 disciples. He knew those relationships had to take priority over all the other good things He could be doing instead. He saw the value of going deep and being intentional with 12 people instead of having surface relationships with hundreds. And so I challenge you today, who are the few people God is calling you to invest in relationally, to share life with, to teach them and show them how to follow Jesus? It might be helpful to actually write them down and make a list. And once your list gets to 30, you can probably know it's a little too long and you might need to shorten it. God, who are the relationships? What are the relationships you're calling me to prioritize? Who are the people that you're asking me to make disciples, to share, to be a witness to Jesus for? How can I make disciples and help other people follow you? It's important that we identify those relationships and give them priority in our life. The third question is, what works am I called to? The Apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians 2. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Jesus' ministry involved preaching to the crowds, healing the blind, feeding thousands, and rising from the dead. These were some significant good works. But His ministry also involved talking to a hurting woman and eating with a tax collector and other simple acts of love and kindness. Jesus has good works for us to do every day. Some are big and some are small, but they are all part of God's will, an opportunity for Jesus to minister through us. We can get so caught up in asking, God, what is your will for my life? When revolving around big decisions, that we forget to ask, what is your will for my day? Who do you want to love through me today? Who do you want to encourage through me? Who do you want to share the gospel with through me today? I'm encouraged by a friend of mine, Jake, who goes to Grace Harbor Creek. He's a physics teacher at a local high school. And he knows his role is to be a teacher, and he's also a pole vault coach. Those are roles that God has called him to. But more importantly, he's identified relationships because of those roles that God is calling him to. People that God wants to love through him. And it's been cool to hear him talk about some of those relationships, even as some of those students have walked through really hard stretches, seasons where they want to shut people out and isolate from others. And yet Jake has a voice in their life, a voice of encouragement, a voice of love, a voice of truth. Jesus gets to minister through Jake because he's open to his will for his life as a teacher. Whatever that might look like for you, I hope today you're open for Jesus continuing his ministry through you. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to follow his will, not yours. His plans must become your plans. His mission must become your mission. His priorities become your priorities. This will change your calendar. This will change your habits. This is going to change your relationships. It happens one decision at a time, surrendering your will to his. And so I ask you, what's holding you back from that? What do you need to surrender so that Jesus can continue his ministry through you? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's your schedule. Maybe it's a dream or desire that consumes you that's actually rooted in selfishness rather than God's will. Joining Jesus in his mission and surrendering to his will might not always be as epic or as glamorous as you'd want it to be, but we get to the experience, the joy of knowing that Jesus is ministering to others through us. So if we want to see Jesus continue his ministry through us, the first essential is surrender. His will, not mine. The second essential is dependence. And the simple prayer of dependence is, your power, not mine. Even though Jesus was fully God and fully man, he models for us what it looks like to be dependent on the Father, to rely on God's power instead of his human strength. I can do nothing on my own, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Jesus knew his authority, power, wisdom, and ability came from the Father. Like Jesus, we can do nothing on our own. But his power at work through us, we can accomplish his purposes that we'd never be able to accomplish without him. In his final night with his disciples, Jesus communicated this to them. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus is trying to communicate that after his death and resurrection, he's going to send his Holy Spirit. He is going to be with them as he promised. And when he dwells within them, he will bear fruit through them. They will do works like he has done, and even greater works, because he will minister through them. When we read the book of Acts, we see what the Holy Spirit can do through normal people like you and me. I think about our life group leaders here at Grace. Whether you lead a group with adults, with our youth, or with our kids, there's supernatural ministry happening through those groups. You're not just leading a discussion or teaching a lesson. The Holy Spirit is opening hearts and changing lives. Jesus is speaking to people through his word, convicting people of their sin, comforting people in their heartache. There's some elementary students who are getting baptized today because Jesus has gotten hold of their hearts through their parents and our Grace Kids volunteers. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you witness to someone and tell them about who Jesus is and what he's done for you, you can't change their heart. You trust the Holy Spirit to do that. But he will, and he wants to. Only Jesus can heal hearts and transform lives. Only Jesus can save souls and give real hope, but he invites us to be part of his redemptive work in this world. He wants to change lives through us. And when he does, it's evident that it is him, not us. Our job is to be faithful. We trust the Spirit to make it fruitful. So the first essential that we talked about was surrender. The second essential for Jesus continuing his ministry through us is dependence, relying on his power, not yours. The third essential is humility. And the simple prayer of humility is this: your glory, not mine. Jesus models humility by giving God the glory in everything he did. He wanted people to know that the reason he could do powerful miracles and teach with amazing insight was because God gave him the authority to do so. In John 7, he says, "The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood." Jesus shows us the necessity of humility in continuing his ministry. We seek his glory, not ours. The problem is our culture is obsessed with self-glorification. We love positive attention affirmation. Social media is built around our desire to be seen and noticed. The result is that we're constantly thinking about how other people view us and comparing ourselves with others. We're so tempted to seek our own glory, aren't we? We want recognition and credit for what we accomplish. We want people to see how great we are. But listen, if you want to see souls saved and lives changed, you must point people to his greatness, not yours. Your mission becomes to make Jesus famous, to seek his glory, not yours, to make sure he gets credit for all the great work he does in and through you. Now, there's a public and a private element to giving Jesus the glory. You must give him the glory privately through personal prayer and praise, and you must give him glory publicly by telling people what he has done for you. If you acknowledge him publicly but not privately, you might be doing it just to look godly in front of other people. If you acknowledge him privately but not publicly, maybe because you're afraid of what people will think, you'll take the glory for yourself and you'll miss an opportunity to point people to Christ. John the Baptist is an incredible example of someone who humbly pointed people to Jesus. As a friend at Grace said recently, John the Baptist was Jesus' hype man. John knew his purpose. He was sent to be a witness for Christ. He lived a sent life, and he knew his mission was to make Jesus famous. Listen to these words from John the Baptist. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. What a powerful sentence. He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist knew his role. He was a friend to the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus, and his bride is the church, his followers. But it was John the Baptist's joy to point other people to Jesus, to make Jesus famous. He humbly sought Christ's glory, not his own. He surrendered to God's will, not his own. He was dependent on God's power, not his own. And the result was that many, many people found new eternal life in Jesus. John was arrested and beheaded as a result of living out his God-given purpose, similar to most of the other disciples who were martyred for their faith in Jesus. But John finished his life knowing that he had accomplished the work God gave him to do. John the Baptist knew he wasn't the Christ. He makes that clear. And I want to give us a caution here. In our desire to be like Jesus, we must remember that we are not Jesus. Be like Jesus without trying to be Jesus. We cannot save souls. We are not worthy of glory. We will let people down. But we get the privilege of pointing others to the one who can save them, the one who will never let them down, the one who is worthy of their devotion and trust. I know for me, it's a challenge sometimes that I want to help people. I want to see lives change so badly that I can start to get that savior complex that they need me when in fact they need Jesus. And so if you find yourself serving, leading, ministering to other people, and you feel that lean where, wow, they really need me, remind yourself, they need Jesus. You're a conduit for him to minister through, but he's the one who's going to save them, transform them, and give them the life they long for. As we close today, I want to leave you with two next steps. The first one is this: find your role at Grace. How does Jesus want to continue his ministry through you here at Grace? Everyone at Grace has a gift to contribute, a service to offer, something you can do so that others can experience Jesus and follow him with greater devotion. One of our core values here is all in. And we believe that what makes us thrive is when everyone is involved. Everyone is connected and serving in some way on a ministry team. And so if you want to take an initial step to figure out where you fit here, what team you can be a part of, CORE starts next Sunday. It's an 8-week class that will give you some great information about your spiritual gifts and opportunities to serve. And if you want something even simpler than that, you can stop at the Next Step Center as you leave today and just find out more. That would be a great first step into finding what is your role here at Grace. The second next step is this: be a witness to your three. As we go through our Transform 1-8 vision, we've been challenged to identify three people in our life who don't know Jesus that we can share our story with, that we can be a witness to. A few months ago, Pastor Derek encouraged us to write down those three people, to pray for them at 3 o'clock every day for 3 minutes. That's been helpful for me to keep them in mind and continue to pray for them. Who are your three people? And how is Jesus calling you to be a witness for him to them? Who is he sending you to? What does it look like for you to be a witness in their life this week? Maybe that's an invitation to Christmas at the Warner. Maybe that's inviting one of your three people to read the Gospel of John with you now that you've read it for yourself. Who does he want to tell about himself through you, about the truth and life, the love and purpose that he offers? It's really cool to think about that every person getting baptized today can tell you at least one person who was a witness for Jesus in their life. I had a really neat conversation with a girl named Sammy who's getting baptized at Harbor Creek today. I said, "Sammy, tell me about your faith journey. How did you come to Christ and how have you decided to follow him?" And she said, "You know what? I was invited to church and a youth group by a girl named Shalia. She's one of my best friends. She's helped me know who Jesus is. She's encouraged me in my faith. She's helped me follow him with greater devotion." She's a big reason why Sammy is getting baptized today. I hope everyone at Grace gets to experience the joy of watching one of your three people get baptized over the next 3 years. How amazing would that be? At the end of Jesus' life, he was able to pray these words to God, knowing he was only a few hours away from his death on the cross. He says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you gave me to do." In his dying breath, Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus fulfilled his purpose. He got to the end of his life knowing he'd accomplished his mission. Isn't that what you want to be able to say at the end of your life? "I accomplished my mission. I fulfilled the purpose God had for my life." When you get to the end of your life, how will you know if you lived it well? It won't be by how much money you made or how nice your house looks. It won't be by the powerful positions you had or the many places you visited. None of the other purposes that the world offers are as fulfilling as seeing Jesus change lives through you. As I mentioned earlier, our mission at Grace is to make and to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. We are the church that we are because hundreds of you here at Grace are living that mission. You're growing as fully devoted followers of Jesus, and you're helping others do the same. You're experiencing Jesus firsthand so you can be a witness to his love and power to others. You are being transformed so you can be a transformer in the lives of others. Jesus is continuing his ministry through you at work and at home, here at Grace and in our communities. And I can't wait to see all the people who will find truth and love, life and purpose in Christ as we join Jesus in his mission every day. God bless you.